praying for each camper that the Lord will work in their hearts. So that's my little testimony for this summer.
If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and, if you would, stand up out of respect for the Word of God this morning. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to speak to you on a very specific subject this morning that I love to speak on. I think it's one of my favorite things to speak on, but I also think it's something that it applies to every single person in this room. And I'm really just going to read a couple verses to you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore Jesus," wow, what a great way to start, you know. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." What is that praise? What is that sacrifice of praise? It says, "That is the fruit of our lips." Can we read the last five words out loud together, please? "Giving thanks to his name." Let's try that one more time. And let's smile a little as we sing it or say it, okay? "Giving thanks to his name." You know, I think... I know one area that God has worked on my heart in this past year so much is the area of praise. And you say, "Well, Carrie, you're already super energetic. It's very easy to put on a show as a Christian. Very easy. Matter of fact, if you saw up here this morning, you'll see we messed up with the who had the mics and all that stuff. I'm kind of glad that happened this morning because I want our ministry team to realize, you know what? Yes, God is a God of order. He does things decently in an order. And I do believe that with all my heart. I believe that we should strive for our best to do that. However, sometimes things just mess up. Sometimes things just don't go the way you planned it to go. Sometimes you do some really dumb things when you're up here and you don't think, "Why in the world did I say that?" And you almost get so focused sometimes, I know I do, on saying everything right, on doing everything right, when I miss sometimes the most important picture of it all, and that's just to give God praise. That's just to give God praise. So I want to ask you that question this morning. Are you here to truly worship God? Are you here to truly praise God? Because what happens up here, whether we mess up or not, whether it happens down there, whether you sing the wrong words, whether you look the wrong way, whether you wore the wrong tie this morning and your wife is looking at you like you're nuts, whatever it may be, you have a God who is worthy of praise. And he should be praised this morning. When I said we had 17 souls that got saved this week, and I said, "I don't think y'all heard that." I did that for a purpose, and not to put you down or anything, but to remind you this morning. Did you realize, do you remember, the Bible teaches that every single time a person gets saved, all of heaven rejoices. All of heaven. And it's a wonder to me sometimes, actually many times, that I go into churches almost every single Sunday, and I can hardly get an amen out of somebody when I say somebody gets saved. It's convicting. Sometimes I'm the one that doesn't. I'm not saying you need to put on a show this morning, but I want to talk to you about this subject, the power of praise and singing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. May you truly be glorified this morning and take over. God, I'm asking you, would you fill me with your spirit and overflow me with your spirit? God, help us to know you and as a result, want to make you known so much more. Help us to worship you and to praise you this morning and get a heart and a renewed desire to lift you up this morning. And help me to say only what you'd have me to say, nothing more, nothing less. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Last year, in 2024, and many of you, if not everybody in this room, may already know this. I don't know. I know Pastor and your church have been praying for my family. There's Drew. He finally... Okay. By the way, I think Junior Church is already in the back. I have a couple of our team this morning. Do I need to step back? Okay. All right. We're going to do a handheld this morning. Last year, we had something that came on my family that was a little bit out of, or unexpected. And many of you already know that. My dad passed away this past year, or last year in 2024, and on September 30th. It was the hardest thing I've ever been through in my entire life. And I know that many in here, actually, I'm going to do this. How many of you have ever lost someone, an immediate family member before? Yeah, I think almost everybody in this room has, okay. You know what it's like. However, I think every person deals with it individually in a different way. I heard one pastor say this. He had lost his wife, or an evangelist. He lost his wife, I believe, to cancer. And he went to go preach at a church, and a sweet little elderly lady came up to him, and she had lost her husband. And I think it was through the exact same thing. It was cancer, an exact same type of cancer. She came up to him and she said, "I know exactly what you're going through." And he thought to himself, "No, you don't. No, you don't." And you know, he didn't say that to her, but he wanted to. and sometimes we look at that and we say, well, they went through the exact same type of cancer. They went through the same treatments. They lost the same person, or quote unquote person, in their life. But each of us deal with it individually in a different way. And so what may be a little bit easier for you may be harder for me. I'm just going to share this very quickly. I'm not going to keep you long. Pastor said I have till about 11:10. So he said, follow the Lord's leading, but we're going to try to get you out of here pretty quickly. Okay. Back in 2023 in October, my dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And it was while I was at our men's retreat at the camp, my brother was at the men's retreat and some of my other family members as well. John got the call, my brother, and we stood over off to the side for a second, called my mom and dad, talked to them a little bit. We thought he was looking, doing some research. They did not say that it was stage 2 cancer, but he was kind of gathering it was about stage 2 at that point from what he had researched. He decided not to go the chemo route because the doctor had told him that he would have about maybe 2 years at max with chemo. And if he did not do chemo, he might have 6 months to a year. And so he thought to himself, well, I've been through this. He had actually been through this before. Age 18, he had cancer, and the doctor said he had about 6 months to live, and God gave him 44 more years. I'm thankful for that. I would not be here this morning. The doctor told him that he would most likely not have any kids whatsoever, and he had 4 children here, four miscarriages. My mom had 4 miscarriages, so he's actually in heaven getting to meet his other 4 kids that he never got to meet. And so I know he's enjoying himself so much right now. So yeah, they had 8 kids, and now there's 6 grandchildren. He got to meet 4 out of the 6, and we just had ours 5 months ago, and then my sister had, he got to meet 3 out of the 6. We've had 3 in the past 9 months, so it's been really crazy, but it's been pretty hectic. He decided not to go the chemo route and decided to go more of a homeopathic route, a natural route, and when he did that, I didn't really know what to expect, Pastor Sumter. I was like, I don't know. I thought to myself, you know, he's probably just going to come through it again. That's what he did last time. And if he just does the right thing, my dad weighed 303 pounds before he got the cancer or was diagnosed with the cancer. And then after about 3 months before he passed, he weighed about at 175. And this is going to blow your mind. He actually lost it in a good way. It was not because of the cancer. He had changed up his diet completely, and it was extreme. My dad had always wanted to lose weight, and God gave him that opportunity. I don't think it was the way we wanted it, but he did give him that opportunity. He got to enjoy most of the last year of his life. We went and did trips. We had so much fun together. He got to see me get married. I'm so thankful for that. But then it got to August of 2024, and my mom and dad, they were at their house, and Rebecca and I decided, you know, we're gonna go over to Williamsburg, and we're gonna go on a little bit of a date, and we're gonna stop by the house and just say hello, because they live over in Newport News, so we would just go about 30 minutes down to Newport News, say hi to them. And so we stopped by the house, and some of you are going to think I'm really weird for this, but that's okay. We watched a Hallmark mystery movie, and we had a good time of fellowship. And then my mom and dad looked at us, and after it was all, we were kind of winding down about to leave. We had an hour and 10-minute drive back to the camp. And my mom looked at me, and she looked back at my dad, and she said, "Should we tell him?" And I don't know about you, when someone starts out with that, I'm like, I don't really want to know what you have to tell me. But she started it out that way, and they agreed. And so they looked at us, and they proceeded to tell me and Rebecca that they had gone to see the cancer doctor who they had not seen in almost a year. They had gone to a more of a natural specialist that had helped them out. And I thought my dad was doing great. He had really had a good year. He started building up some fluid on his body during the last couple months of his life. And so they went to see the doctor, and the cancer doctor said that the pancreatic cancer had proceeded to stage 4. And he had with chemo until Christmas, most likely. If he did not do chemo, he'd have a few weeks, most likely. And so for sake of time, I'm not going to go too in-depth with this, but in that moment, I felt something come over me that I've never felt, I don't think, in my entire life. Maybe one other time. And I felt a tear start to come down my eye. I walked out of the room, went back to the bathroom, and I'm not going to go into super detail, but I just began to cry profusely. I don't think I've really, maybe one time in my life, I don't think I've ever really had an anxiety attack in my entire life, okay? I'm usually pretty chill, just go with the flow kind of guy. And I got in the bathroom and I just started hyperventilating, crying profusely. I tried to calm myself down. I look in the mirror and I was just, I couldn't believe what a wreck I looked like in that moment. I had pus coming out of my eyes. I was like, what is happening? I didn't understand what was going on. And all I could think of in that moment was Rebecca and I had found out that we were going to have a baby. And so I thought to myself, he's not going to see him. And that was really, that really crushed me. And so I walked out of that bathroom. I thought it was about 30 minutes. Rebecca told me later I was in there for about an hour. I get myself calmed down, and then it would start back up. I get myself calmed down and start back up. And I walked out of that bathroom and I looked at my mom down the hallway. I motioned for her to come down into the hallway. And so she came out and came back to the back bedroom with me. And we stood in her room, and I am struggling so badly at this point. And I knew that my mom would have a Bible on her nightstand next to her bed. And I looked at my mom and I said, Mom, I need you to read it to me, and I need you to read it to me now. And she pulled out some scripture she had been reading that morning, and she started to read me some verses, and she came over afterwards. She came to give me a hug, and right before she did that, I looked at my mom, and Caden, I could not believe the words were coming out of my mouth. I'm an evangelist. I'm a pastor's kid. Brother James, I could not believe the things that were coming out of my mouth. I did not believe them, but they were coming. And I looked at my mom, and I thought to myself, and I said it out loud. I said, Mom, you and Dad have given so much. And I went to say the words, but you have nothing. I knew that wasn't true. But I went to say it, and my mom stopped me, and I'm so thankful for a godly mom. She looked at me, she gave me a hug, and she said, Carrie, we have everything. Because we've got God and we've got our family. I remember one time I looked at my mom and I heard a pastor say those exact words. You know, Carrie, if you have God and you have a family, you are rich, my friend. And I agree with that. But my mom, when I told her that I told her that after I heard that, she looked at me, she said, Carrie, sometimes I just wish I didn't have such a spiritual mom, you know? She just knows everything. But she looked at me, she said, Carrie, if you've got God, you have everything. And she's right. I gave her a hug. I walked out into the living room and I saw my dad sitting there. He's just got peace. That's just the peace of God. He's smiling. He's talking to Rebecca. They're fellowshipping and he knows I'm struggling. And I looked at him. I could barely look at him in the eyes. And I just said, Dad, I need you to read to me. And he started reading some passages of scripture to me. I said, God, how do you have such peace right now? I knew the answer, but I just had to ask it. Why do you have so much peace right now? And he just proceeded to tell me a scripture and tell me, it's all God. And he read some more scripture to me, and we ended that night, and I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks later, he went to be with Jesus. And I miss him so much. But I know that he's having the time of his life. And if you knew my dad, he liked to sing so much, and he is singing up a storm right now. I say all that to say this morning. I've really just got about a few minutes, and I'm going to take you to a couple passages, and I'm done. I want to encourage you this morning. After that happened in my life, I really began to struggle, and I think every person struggles after that. I've never really had this feeling before, but I just started to have the feeling of I don't want to go to church. I didn't want to hear the pastor. Carter, every time I went to church, unless I was speaking, and I think the only reason why it was okay while I was speaking is because I can get my mind off of it, Brother James. But when I was not speaking and I was sitting in an auditorium, I would just struggle. And I even looked at Rebecca a couple of times, my wife, and I said, Rebecca, I just don't feel like going to church today. But I know I need to. And every time I get to the end, or get to that church service, and at the end of it, I'd say, Lord, you know I needed that. Because I did. There was times where I did not feel like going to church. There was so many times I did not feel like reading my Bible. I did not feel like praying. I did not feel like serving God. I did not feel like, I kind of went through the motions, and I'm thinking to myself, what is happening to my life? I'm an evangelist. I'm a pastor's kid. I know what the Word of God says. I know all the right things. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And this is what God taught me in that moment. And I want you to look at the verse very quickly in verse number 15. It says, by him, Jesus, by him, therefore, because he died for us. It says in verse 12, it said that he might sanctify the people with his own blood and suffered without the gate. He died for us. He died for me. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually, let's say that word out loud together, please. Continually. It's not something that you do when you just feel like it. It's not something that you do when it's just the right time. But my friend, it is instead the time when you do not feel like it that you need to praise God. It is instead the time when you do not think it's the right time and you don't want to do it. That's when you need to praise God. And that's when you need to get up here and sing in the choir, even though you don't want to sing in the choir. And I realized in that moment that every single time I did not want to do it, that was when I needed to do it. The power of praise and of singing. You know what happened every single time I got to church? You know what happened every single time I sung a special? You know what happened every single time I'd hear a pastor preach? Brother James, this is what happened. I did not want to be there, but when I got it, I was encouraged when I left. And some of you might be struggling this morning. You say, Brother Kerry, I've got a lost one I just lost. I've got someone that I'm really struggling with. I lost a friend, or maybe I'm going through a hard circumstance in my life. And you know what? You just don't feel like giving God praise continually. I go into independent Baptist churches almost every single Sunday, and it's almost every single Sunday a different independent Baptist church up and down the East Coast. And you know what I find so often is that as independent fundamental Baptist people, we sure know the Word of God, but we do not know how to praise God. When somebody says somebody gets saved, I can barely get a holy grunt out of somebody. When somebody says, you know what, this person just led their first person to Christ, we're like, oh, that's great, that's happy. Do you realize that Jesus rejoices over that? How much more should we rejoice over that? And I'm not trying to put any of you down in this room. This message is really more for me than it is for you. But I encourage you this morning, God has given you so much to be thankful for. God has given you so much to praise God for. God has given you so much that you could just go on and on and on and give God glory. Is he not worthy of that praise? Psalm 50 verse 23 says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." One of the main reasons God made everything in creation was to give God praise. Psalm 19 1 through 3 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I heard one preacher say, the blue sky points to the praise of the royalty of Jesus Christ. The white clouds praise the purity of our King of Kings, and the green grass praises the bounty of our God. You look at creation, one person said, all of creation is just a finger pointing itself back to God. Do you praise God this morning? Do you lift him up? Because he is worthy. Matter of fact, can I say this? He is the only one that's worthy. He is the only one that's worthy of your praise. He is the only one that's worthy of your worship. And he is the only one that's worthy of your adoration. Do you adore him? Did you know that, I told our staff this several times this summer, the Bible, David says that Jesus, or God, delights in him. God delights in his people. Did you know, my dad used to say it this way, God does not just love you, but he likes you. There's some people I don't like, okay? I have a hard time getting along with them sometimes. But you know, God loves everyone us the same, and he likes us. He delights in us. How much more should we do the same to him? Do you praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for who he is? Psalm 22 verse 3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." I had this written down in my notes, and Scott Pauley was with us this past week, and he actually quoted this verse, and he made the same statement. If you wanted to give Jesus a street address, I know he's everywhere, he's omnipresent, but if you wanted to give him a street address, you could give him Psalm 22 verse 3, because it says he inhabitest the praises of Israel. That means that God will inhabit your praises. So you say, "Carrie, I'm not feeling the presence of God lately." I wonder, are you praising God? Are you lifting him up? Are you worshiping him? Because when you do that, God dwells in that. God inhabits that. He loves that. Praise is one of the main reasons God created us. Ephesians 1:12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the," what, church? "Praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." One preacher said, when we give God thanks, we show appreciation for his gifts. Don't miss this, please. When you give God thanks, you show appreciation for his gifts. But when we give God praise, we show adoration for his glory. I hope you didn't miss that this morning. I'm going to be very clear this morning, okay? I love everybody. God loves everybody. I believe God gives his people the love of Christ to be able to love everybody in this world for whom he died for. I do believe that. I'm not putting down these people. However, I will say this. I am not a Pentecostal this morning. I'm not a charismatic. I'm an independent fundamental Bible believing Baptist. But I have realized, and I sometimes think about the fact, Brother James, that why is it that we as independent fundamental Baptists let the charismatics and Pentecostals steal our praise? Why is it that we have a problem with somebody lifting up their hand and giving God glory? Now, I'm going to step on some toes this morning. I know that, okay? I'm not trying to put on a show this morning. I'm not asking you to put on a show. But why is it that sometimes we struggle to even smile while we're singing? Why is it that at me as a song leader, so many times I have to encourage people to smile while they sing? Why? Is it? And I don't think people do it on purpose. I think we just get in the same rhythm and the routine, and it's just over and over. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we don't know how to praise God. We don't know how to lift God up. We know what things to do. We know what things to say, but we do not know how to truly worship God. I wonder this morning, are you lifting up Jesus? Are you giving him glory as he deserves? Because he does deserve it. When you start to praise God, even when you don't feel like it, he transforms those feelings into getting your focus back on him. Sometimes I don't feel like giving God praise, but when I do it, I just start having a happy heart again. My dad looked at a young man that was struggling with forgiving his mom over something that she had done. It was very awful. And he said, Jacob, if you choose to forgive her, the feelings will come. He said, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel as though I can forgive her. He said, Jacob, if you choose to forgive her, the feelings will come. And you know what happened? It did just that. You don't let your feelings drive you as a Christian. You let Jesus. And you choose to give him praise. You choose to give him glory. Tom Farrell said something like this. Some people say that we don't believe that we should be like the charismatic church. And he said, I say, friend, I agree. But if we would take some of their emotion and put it into our doctrine, we might just have a touch of revival. God might just visit us again in our church. Number one, the substance of praise. What is praise? There are 248 references out of 216 verses in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the definition boils down to boasting or celebrating or to commend. In the New Testament, the definition comes down to honoring, to worship, or once again, to commend. Tom Burrell said, praise is the celebration of, I love this, of the character of God. Do you celebrate God? Do you celebrate God's character? Do you just, when you sit down to do your devotional time, do you just read your Bible or do you think about, man, it says that he will supply all my rich or all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then do you think about the fact that, wow, Jesus, what a name. What a king. He's rich. He owns everything. Do you think about it? He owns everything and he chooses to bless his children. He doesn't have to, but he chooses to. I'm so glad we serve a God like that. That's just one example. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't have to want anything because he gives me exactly what I need and exactly what I needed. And above and beyond that, he gives us even our desires. Rebecca and I went on a date last night. I love going on dates with her. She's amazing. We went on a date last night. I said, I'm going to take you to a fancy place. And I had two gentlemen give me $140 together. And they said, I want you to take her to this place specifically. It was a snazzy place. And somewhere that we would not have been able to afford. And we went there and I felt like, I looked at her. I said, Rebecca, we are such pastor's kids. We never get out. We looked at this place and there's so many different things. You know, they got several forks. They got all these things. We had cheese and crackers at this place as that wasn't even a part of the appetizer. That was just like the rolls kind of thing, you know, and they brought out the rolls. They brought the cheese and crackers. This place was awesome. I loved it. I was having a blast and I was thinking about how wonderful this is. And you know, I don't even remember where I was going with that. I just think about food this morning. I'm going to get it just in a second. But anyway, when we were going there, we were having a special time of fellowship together. And sometimes I think we look at Jesus as this person that we can't fellowship with. And yet he is a person that we can fellowship with. We had a fun time. We did not look like we needed to be there, but we had a fun time. I wonder this morning, do you have a fun time when you have your devotions? Do you have a fun time when you get into the Word of God? Do you have, I'm not talking about, are you just bouncing around, laughing your eyes out? I mean, I'm just saying, are you having a good time when you get in the Bible? Do you have fellowship with the King of Kings? He is worthy to be honored and worshiped. He is worthy to celebrate. He's worthy to give God praise. Another definition is this. I love this thing. This is my favorite definition of this. It's just enjoying every single thing that God is. It's just enjoying every single thing that God is. The substance of that praise, the concentration of that praise, it's to God. Look at verse number 15 again. It says, the sacrifice of praise to God. There's a direction. Did you know that almost every time you find the word praise in the Bible, the next two words follow and that are the Lord? It says, praise the Lord. Psalm 7:17 says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. And I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God is worthy of our praise, and there's a direction. It does not go to you. It does not go to me. It does not go. Sometimes I believe there's some churches that do give God or give man praise more than they should give God praise. I remember one person was telling me a story of how they heard of about a man that was, he got so excited, he ran around the tent and he came up to the front and he was running and he stopped and he looked out at everybody and then he just kept on going. I don't know about you, that doesn't really seem like it's true worship. When you're going to stop and you look at everyone so everyone can see you for a second. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. When you get to your God night time, who's it about? Is it about you or is it about Jesus? Is it about the King? The concentration of the praise should be on Jesus, the confession of that praise. Look at the verse that says, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips, Psalm 40 verse 3 says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. There are people that say, I am praising God in my heart. Can I say this in a very kind way? Open her up and let her fly, okay? Sometimes, you know, I understand that we should have the right motives. We should be able to praise God in our heart. But this idea about praising God in my heart only and nothing ever coming out of my mouth is not biblical. It's not. Psalm 71:8 says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Psalm 89:1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. When God starts to do something on the inside, it will come out on the outside. So the question is he doing anything in you? Are you letting him doing anything in you? So much so that you're willing to give God praise and openly rejoice. I remember the first time I put up my hand in a service, I thought to myself, this is scary. Like, this is really awkward. Everybody's looking at this hand. You know, sometimes you need to be careful. I'm not saying you have to do one thing or another, but I am saying this, you should give God praise. You should give God glory. I realized as I started to do it more, God helped me to get my concentration off of that and just focus on him. I know some people that take it way too far. But I'm just encouraging this morning. Don't let people that are in other churches that do not have Bible doctrine, that know how to do all these things and make a lot of noise and everything, don't let them steal your praise. Let's lift up Jesus this morning. The concentration is Jesus. The confession is the fruit of our lips. What's on the inside will flow on the outside. The continuation of that praise. We are to offer praise to God continually, it says in that verse. There, by the way, how many hunters do we have in this room? How many hunters? Okay, several hunters in this room. We've got some ladies that are hunters in this room. Great. You know, there's a hunting season for about everything. There's a turkey season. There's an elk season. There's a bear season. There's a deer season. There's so many different seasons. Did you know that there's no season on praising God? There's no season on it. You don't have to wait until 12 o'clock midday to give God praise. You don't have to wait until you get to church on Sunday morning and pastor says, hey, let's praise God together. That's when you start giving God praise. You don't have to wait until you get to a Christian camp to give God praise. You can praise God anywhere and everywhere at any time because he is always there and ready for you to give him praise. It's a continual thing. It should be a continual thing. Are you giving God praise this morning? I love this. Psalm 119:164 says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. When you wake up, you ought to praise him. When you have your personal devotions, you ought to praise him. When you get to breakfast, you ought to praise him. At lunch and dinner, you might as well praise him again. And then you go to have your family devotions or your another personal time. You go back over what you had in the morning and you give God some more praise. And then you lay your head down at night and you just say, Lord, thank you. That's just seven times. And I can't even get, sometimes I'm guilty of this too. Sometimes we don't even spend 15 minutes, 5 minutes with God. Are you giving God praise? The continuation of that praise. For sake of time, I don't really have a lot of time to go over the rest of this, but I do want to go over one thing. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want to show you something kind of neat, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. Second Chronicles chapter 20, you have King Jehoshaphat, who has three enemies coming against him. You've got the enemy of Ammon and Mount Seir and Moab, and they're coming against the children of Judah and King Jehoshaphat, and the kingdoms are divided at this point. You have the king of Israel, you have the king of Judah, and you have these three major armies coming to them, and Jehoshaphat is in trouble. He's thinking to himself, how in the world are we going to do this, Josh? Kind of like camp sometimes, you know? You get to camp, you're like, how in the world am I going to deal with this camper? You know, how in the world am I going to get through this situation? Or how in the world am I going to get through this thing at work? How am I going to, you know, and I just, it's a really hard situation. Well, this is what happens. Look in the first part of the chapter 20. It says, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon with them all other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to what, church? Let's try that one more time. What? Seek the Lord. Do you do that? And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask, what's the next words? Help of the Lord. Can you imagine all the United States coming together to ask God help? What a sight that would be. And Jehoshaphat stood, or even all the cities of the Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God? And he goes on from there, and you look in verse number 14, the end of verse 14, it says, this man, Jehoshaphat, came the spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And now King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but what, church? God's. Look at verse number 17. The beginning says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. And this is what happens. If you look in verse number 21, this is what Jehoshaphat does. After God gives them an answer, this is what happens. He says in verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed what? Let's try that again. Singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. All right, here's the story. Ready? You have three armies that are very major armies coming together against Judah. It looks like Judah's going to lose, and there's all odds are against them except God. That's a great situation to be in, by the way. God says, all right, I want you to just set yourselves, stand you still, see the salvation of the Lord. And he apparently gives Jehoshaphat another instruction. It doesn't say it in the Bible, but apparently somehow Jehoshaphat got this idea of that he was going to appoint singers. Now, okay, I don't know about you. This one is really funny to me. So you get to a battle and you think, okay, let's get our swords, let's get our shields, let's get our helmets, let's get our bows and arrows, let's get our catapults, let's get our rocket launchers, whatever you want to do, okay? You get all these things ready for the battle, and you've got these three major armies coming against you, and it's just you and your small little army, and you got all your swords and shields, and then God says this, Caden, Charles, I want you to put down that sword for a sec, okay? Matter of fact, can you come up here, Charles? I want you to put down that shield. I just want you to. Charles has a great singing voice. Okay, so Charles, since you do, we're going to put you out. Okay, so Charles, I want you to stand on the front line. Okay, I want you to stand right here. Okay, so I just want you to stand there, and I want you to start singing when I tell you to. Okay, all right. Don't do that. I'm not going to tell you to sing and do a solo. Okay. this is what's happening. It says, and they went out before the armies. You got to be kidding me. No. What they did was they really just sent out a search team. They sent out a flank team on this side. They sent out their special forces on this side, and they got them all, they got them all scattered out, and they're ready to attack this thing. They're really not going to put a choir up front. I don't know about you, but that seems a little idiotic to me. It wasn't idiotic to God. God says, I want you to put a choir out front. this can be, independent Baptist choirs are not always the greatest choirs, okay? I'm just being honest with you. We all know it. But some of the best choirs I've ever seen are the ones that don't always sing the right notes. You say, why is that, Carrie? Because they're singing for Jesus. And they just want to give him God everything. They put the choir on the front line. Matter of fact, Josh, why don't you come up here too, okay? We don't really care about y'all. We're going to put you on the front, okay? No, I'm just kidding. We really do care about you. So we're going to put you on the front. And he sets him in front. He's got these three major armies that come against him. And all of a sudden, this is what happens. He says, all right, guys, we're going to start singing a little bit, okay? Matter of fact, let's back up a little bit so they can make sure the camera's good, all right? I don't know, they have live stream, but we're just going to start singing. We're going to start with Blessed Be the Name, okay? And this is kind of what happens, all right? So we just kind of start singing a little softly, okay? So all praise to him who reigns. Sounds like most choirs, yeah? Sing supreme. Whoa. Did you see that? Please tell me you saw that. That guy just dropped over. He just dropped over. That's wow. That was a little interesting. Let's keep singing. Okay. All praise to him who reigns above in majesty. Josh, please tell me you saw that. That. What do you mean where? It's right there. All right. You see all these and. These guys, they start falling. You guys can go be seated. Thank you so much. I don't know about you, but I just like to picture that choir. They started off kind of softly. I don't know if they did that or not. But they start a little softly and they think to themselves, man, look at that. What was that? Let's sing a little louder, all right? All praise to him who reigns. Whoa, guys, that whole team just fell over. I mean, that was like, wow. Okay, let's go a little bit louder. And they said, let's put it in full throttle, guys. Let's lift our voices up, all right? And we're gonna sing and give God glory. All praise to him who reigns above. And they just sing and sing and sing. And all of a sudden, you know what the Bible goes on to say? Look at the next verse. It says in verse number 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, not before. Notice this, singers before soldiers, worship before war. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Do you get this? This is the picture right here. I know I'm in a few minutes late, but I think this is so crucial to get. You have all these armies coming against Judah. It looks like all odds are against them. But then God says, give me praise. Just stay focused on me, and I'll take care of the rest. And these three armies literally go against each other. They turn on each other and they destroy each other. And the children of Israel come in and get all the spoil. I wonder how many battles we lose because we're so focused on fighting instead of singing. We're so focused on fighting instead of praising. Would you bow with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Pastor's gonna come in just a moment. He's gonna close the invitation. But I wonder this morning if you're that Christian that says, you know what, Carrie, I've been going through a hard time recently. I don't know what your church is going through. Pastor knows a lot better than I do. He knows the people. And so maybe someone is in here this morning that would say, Carrie, I just lost my parent. I just lost my sibling. They just went on to be with Jesus. Or maybe even worse than that, every eye closed, maybe you have someone that you just lost that was not saved. I can't imagine. There's some hard things that we go through in life. But when you start to give God praise, even in the midst of the times you don't feel like it, God regenerates you and rejuvenates you and helps you to be able to give him praise unlike you would have ever been able to imagine. As long as you start doing it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder this morning, if that's you, you say, Brother Kerry, I've been going through something hard this morning. I've been going through some very hard things, whether it's at work or maybe it's someone, you lost someone or whatever it may be. You know what it is. And you just need some prayer this morning. You need say, Kerry, I need to praise God some more. I have not been doing that. I've been so focused on the circumstances. I've been focused on complaining instead of giving God glory. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? I'd just like to pray for you. Yes, several across the auditorium. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. If you just pray, if you just raise your hand, I want you to do me a favor. I believe that I'm going to spend some time and praying for you in just a moment. But if you just raise your hand and you say, Kerry, I really need some prayer. I'm going through some things and I really need to talk to the Lord about this. I have not been giving him praise like I should, but I really want to start doing that. If that's you and you just raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to do something in just one moment. When the pianist starts to play, I want you to come down to this altar and I just want you to talk to the Lord. Not because I said so, but because this is a time where you get to come down and just fellowship with Jesus. If you will not do it in here, you will not do it at home. If you will not do it here, you will not do it out in public. I'm not saying to put on a show this morning, but I just encourage you, if you just raise your hand, I'd encourage you to come down to this altar when the pianist begins to play and you just spend some time talking to Jesus. You say, God, please forgive me for not giving you praise like I should have, but help me to stay focused and concentrated on Jesus Christ and on your word. Folks are already coming down. The pianist has started to play. People are coming down right now. If you just raise your hand, I encourage you, come down. Don't wait another second. Yes, there's folks all over the place coming down right now. You don't wait another second. If you need to talk to God about this morning, you come down to this altar and you get right with the Lord over that. And you start getting your focus on Jesus and God will revive your spirit through that. I'm going to talk to some other people in here this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed still. Maybe you say, Brother Kerry, how can I give someone praise that I don't even have a relationship with? That's a good question. Maybe you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven this morning. If that's you, I'd love to talk to you for a second. Say, Brother Kerry, I don't know if something were to happen in my life, I don't know for sure if I'd be in heaven. If I died today, I don't know if I'd see Jesus face to face. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? I'd just like to pray for you. I'm not gonna embarrass you. I'm not gonna ask you to come down here. But you say, Brother Kerry, I don't even have a relationship. Everyone in here has said they're saved, or maybe you just didn't have the courage to raise your hand. I'd encourage you to talk to pastor afterwards if you do have questions about that. Maybe God has dealt with your heart about something else this morning. The pianist is still playing. There's still folks at the altar. If you need to come talk to God this morning, you come down and you spend time with Jesus. He is truly worthy of all praise. He is truly worthy of all glory. I had a whole outline and I think I got to like 1/4 of it this morning. But I believe God is in this. If you are just struggling with that, this altar will not do anything for you necessarily, but sometimes just coming down here helps you to remember the decision that you made. And then when you come down here, it's an example or a symbol, a picture of you leaving your burdens at the altar with Jesus and you walking away and leaving them there. I wonder if that's you this morning.